Father, thank you we can come together like this to break bread and praise your name, engage in worship, and open your word. And we pray, Father, that by your Spirit you will anoint these lips, that what is spoken will be of your Spirit. And for everyone, Lord, I pray that all our ears, the ears of our heart, will be open to hear what you want to communicate with us this morning, to encourage us in our walk of faith. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. We apply it now as we spend this short time around your word. Spirit of God, open the eyes and understanding of our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This Bible, which most of us own a Bible, 66 books, 39 Old Testament, 27 New, written over a period of approximately 1,500 years. God used at least 35 authors from many different backgrounds over a minimum of 1,500 years. It's now banned in 52 countries. We have the great privilege to be opening that this morning. Peter says, you must understand that no prophecy or scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So this book of James, inspired by the Holy Spirit, I just want to this morning maybe look at something different and give a very personal thing which I trust encourages you. Which James wrote it? If you study the Word of God, you'll see there are many Jameses. But the scholars haven't studied over many years, particularly James's speech in the book of Acts 15. They have come up with similarities of language, and most scholars agree this is James, the brother of Jesus. So, he became a leader of the church in Jerusalem, and after Jesus' death and resurrection, and he was greatly respected for his wise decisions that helped the community of believers then and there. And if you do remember, the council in Jerusalem were faced with these guys who were trying to say, look, these Gentile believers need to be circumcised. And this is always the case. When someone comes to be a believer in Jesus Christ, the system and the world will try to put something on you that is not of the Spirit. Always the same. Religion will try to do that. And they said they need to be circumcised. And James, there was Paul and Barnabas versus those of the circumcision group. And when they had all spoke, it just says James spoke up. You can look at this sometime in Acts 15. And this is what he said. He said, listen to me, Simon, that Simon Peter, has described how God has intervened to choose a people for his name from the Gentiles. That's us people. And this is what he said. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. It's not always the same. We should not make it difficult for people who have found Jesus. Okay. We shouldn't put a lot of stuff on them that maybe we were taught, and you need to do this. But instead, he says, we should write to them to abstain from food polluted by idols. In other words, the culture of the day and the society that they live in. And also, he says, from sexual immorality. That is, illicit sexual relationship. Because James says Jewish believers would know this, for they have been taught in every synagogue up and down the country for generations. They have heard the Old Testament. They're familiar with the books of Moses. These Gentile believers are not. So he says, this is what you have to do. Tell them to flee from sexual immorality, illicit sexual relations. So while he doesn't cover that in this book particularly that we're going to look at, he does talk about the purity of living. Because the Bible says that every sin that a man does is outside his body except sexual immorality. Because in it you're sinning against your own body. Do you not know, he says, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You were bought at a price. You're not your own. Glorify God with your body. So, James concentrates on questions of daily living in God's good creation. That's what the book of James is all about. And this leads me to ask the question, do Christians today really know what the Bible says concerning living in God's creation? In other words, can you defend what you actually believe today? Some people are talking rubbish. You will not have to go too far today where people have their opinions. And we are supposed as Christians to believe this. My feelings don't count. Your feelings don't count. But what the book says counts. What the Word of God says. So we need to be in a place to be able to defend what the book says. Example, what does the Bible say about sexual immorality today? It says the same as it always said. Flee from it. Stop it. And the Greek word says you have to keep on fleeing from it. So what's the word of God to a believer who's in sexual immorality today? Stop it. Stop it. Get out of it and keep out of it. See, James in his book considers practical issues such as patience and endurance during times of trial, asking for God's wisdom, source of temptation. We're going to look at that later. He talks about quick to listen, slow to speak. That's great advice, guys, isn't it? Concern for the poor, the responsible use of your money, control of the tongue, the brevity of life. Andrew and I were talking earlier. The older you get, you realize, hey, how did I get here so quickly? I thought I was only 18, and I'm 78, actually. The brevity of life. It talks about favoritism. If a guy comes in with a Range Rover, and you bring him up to the front here, and the guy's in the bicycle, you sit here, boy. It covers a lot. And I'm sure under Pastor Paul, you'll get excellent teaching in this. He talks about unity in the body of Christ's followers. But it also talks about confessing of your sins or your faults to one another. I think the evangelical church has sold that. I thank God for those godly men that I can come and say, guys, I need to confess this. What a freedom there is in confessing. There's a freeing in it. It doesn't say confessing of your faults to someone who's in a place. Confessing of your faults to one another. And this godly wisdom remains as valuable a guide to living human lives as when James first shared it centuries ago. And as I say, I'm sure you'll be blessed in the weeks ahead. I want to say this, if the advice and instructions in the book of James were purely of human origin, they would still be very beneficial for living. But one of Billy Graham's favorite quotes is, "The Bible says," Billy Graham, "the Bible says." It's a medicine for blessing. James says, don't just listen to the word and deceive yourself. Do what it says. And he says, if you just listen to it and read it and then do it, he says, you're like this guy, it looks in the mirror, and then you forget what you look like. But this is what it says. Whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forget what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Folks, I want to be blessed. I do. I want to live a blessed life, and I want to see my brothers and sisters living a blessed life. Now, that doesn't mean that everything in the garden is rosy and will always, but it means when something comes, you'll have a strength that's not your own to handle it. The gracious hand of the Lord upon you, which I'll so I just want to read a little bit from Proverbs here, which I believe James had studied this. Because this is what he says in Proverbs. And listen how many times the word wisdom is spoken and embracing. This is Proverbs 4, starting at verse 4. Then he taught me and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom. She will protect you. Love her. She'll watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Cherish her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for their life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Hey, guys, there's stuff in there. So today, folks, we not only have the Old Testament law books, which James had and looked at, we have the very words of Jesus, the Savior of the world, and the Holy Spirit living within us. We really are without excuse. Jesus says in that famous line in Matthew 11, come to me when you're burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Folks, we're all good at coming to Jesus when we're burdened, whenever we're busted and broken. But as life goes on, we're bad at learning from him. He says, I'm gentle and lowly in heart. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So every one of us needs to take charge of our own life. I have a godly wife, I thank God for, but I will not have to give an account for her when I stand before the Lord, nor will she have to give an account for me. I'll be there on my own, and so will each one of us. So we need to take charge of our own life. We need to not just drift along, listening to the whole condemning lies of the world and following the pattern of this world, and reacting to events as they sort of happen. Friends, we're living in days, I don't have to tell you this, we are living in days where knowing the scripture is paramount. That actually is paramount. Come to me, Jesus says. you're born, learn from me. So how do we learn from him today? By the word. The old prophet Amos says, there'll be a famine of the word. Amos 8:11. There'll be a famine, he says, in the land, but there'll not be a famine of food or water. Be a famine of the word of God, and people will stagger in a circle. Friends, we're living in a day where there's a famine of the word of God. In our beloved Northern Ireland that sent missionaries over the world, there's many people out this morning, they have no interest in coming to church. They're exercising their dogs. I exercised my dogs this morning as well, but it was before daybreak. They're keeping fit. They're doing all sorts of things. And those are ordinary, decent people. I'm not talking about the rascals that are stealing your cars and doing the drugs. I'm talking about ordinary, decent people. We have a grandson called Ezra. I think it's a good name. And there's a guy in the Old Testament, and it uses a phrase about him. It's Ezra. And it says he was a scribe who was well-versed in the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given to the people of Israel. He came up to Jerusalem from Babylon, where he'd been in captivity. And the king gave him everything he asked for, because the gracious hand of the Lord was on him. Okay. That's a powerful statement. And as I said, that's what I want. I want the gracious hand of the Lord to be upon me. And I want it to be upon not just Pastor Paul and Claire. I want it to be on all my brothers and sisters. So, how and why was the gracious hand of the Lord upon Ezra? It actually says it in Ezra 7:8. The gracious hand of his God was on him because he had determined, set his heart to study the word of the Lord. I want to say, folks, don't depend on this guy teaching you. Don't depend on this guy teaching you. Get into the word of God yourself. I mean it. Ask God to give you an appetite for the things that really matter. This is what Moses says when he finished reciting all the words to Israel. He says, these are not idle words. They are your life. You see, this is a revelation to me the other day, and we're getting to James, by the way. This is, don't panic. The church in Revelation had this: I have a complaint against you. You have forsaken your first love. And I was studying that, and I was looking at it in a modern translation, and this is what it said. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. That was the new, and I'm looking, hold on a minute, has this new translation got it right? I thought you have forsaken your first love, that was Jesus. But if you study in the original, it means you have lost your first love, you've lost your love of Jesus and love for others. And when you think about it, if we have lost the love for Jesus, how could we love others? So I need to love you people. And you need to love people, because it's the love of Jesus enables you to do that. So, that's the introduction. James gives great advice, and I want us this morning to very briefly look at two areas that James addresses, and I want to be very practical here. Temptation and confession. And I want to give you a very recent personal experience, which I trust will encourage you to be more intimate. I'll read these scriptures standing into it, because I come under temptation. And the Bible says, if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. Now, it doesn't say if you're weak. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, if you're weak, you're looking to God. That's what Paul. Paul says, I'll only boast. I'm not boast. I will boast in my weaknesses that the power of Christ might rest upon me. He says, if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what other experiences. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you're tempted, he will show you a way out so you can endure. That's 1 Corinthians 10. Right, say, well, Davey, okay. How were you tempted? I saw my wife is away. It's not good for a man to be alone. He's laughing. My wife is away, and I looking at something, and I could see a raffle for a Toyota. Now, we have Toyotas in our ministry in Africa, and I just thought, I would like that Toyota. The ticket was £15, but I just felt a wee bit uneasy about it. I went to bed that night, and I'm thinking, maybe there was one voice saying, what if this is God's way of providing? Oh, it was. But you know, I just had an unease, and I just went to bed and I said, Lord, I need you to speak to me here. I need you to speak to me clearly. Whether I buy this ticket for this or where this is, you are the enemy. 9th of February. 10th of February, I listened to a little thing, Angus Buchan. Now, I hope I can play this here.
I greet you in Jesus' precious name. It is Saturday morning, the 10th of February, 2024, and this is your friend, Angus Buchan, with a thought for the day. We start off in the book of Psalms, Psalm 89 and verse 37. It shall be established forever, like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky. And then we go straight to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. But the word of our God stands forever. And then the last scripture in the Gospel of John chapter 12. And I am reading verse 34. Who is the Son of Man? Oh, friends, you know who we're talking about. He is the faithful one. He is the one that never changes. He is the one that said, I'll never leave you and I will never forsake you. Yes, he is a sure thing. You know, many, many years ago when I started farming, I was a farm manager on a dairy farm up in central Zambia. And I worked for a very, very gracious man. He also bred racehorses. And he was a very keen gambler. And I had never gambled in my life before. And I never, ever will again after this incident. He came to me one day and he said, Angus, I've got the fastest horse on the track. I want to tell you, son, take half of your wages. I think I was only getting about £50 a month in those days. Take half your wages, put them on my horse, and you are going to win a lot of money because he's running at 10 to 1. You can't lose. I'm telling you, it's a sure thing. So I did it. And take a guess what happened. Yes, that beautiful horse got beaten at the finish line by a nose, just a nose. And I lost half of my wages. Never, ever have I bet since then. And if you're a betting man, stop it today, because there's nothing sure about gambling. But one thing you can be sure of, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. God bless you and have a wonderful day. And remember, when that moon comes up, yes, the Lord's word is as sure as that moon that comes up every night. God bless you.
I wouldn't say I know Angus Buchan intimately, but I have been on his farm and I have met him. And I decided, Angus, I need to just confess. And the speed of it, the thing happened on the 9th, and I went, and I got this from Angus.
Good morning, Davey Hoy. This is Angus speaking. Thank you very, very much for your encouragement and the fact that you are not gambling, because that would have been £15 of good money wasted. Well done. Jesus bless you and have a lovely day. Bye.
Now, folks, why am I sharing that? It's not a false humility. I'm just as vulnerable and as human as you are. And so was the greatest preacher ever you heard. But I want to say today, what the enemy was attempting to do, the enemy was attempting to take my faith in God. You see, he was attempting to deceive where I was standing strong, the very life of faith, of provision I have lived for the past 37 years, and have seen the provision, supply, and the gifting of so many vehicles I couldn't count. You understand? So what I'm saying this morning to you, dearly beloved, stay in the Word of God. He wanted me to go to the culture of today, namely the raffle ticket or the whatever, scratch card or whatever. I wasn't going to lose my salvation, or neither of are you if you buy a scratch card. But what you're doing is you're closing down the avenue where God wants to bless you. And it will stop your intimacy with God. That thing helped me in my faith when I realize I'm going to bed and I'm wondering, Lord, is this for you? You would think, David, you've been walking with Jesus for so many years. I thought you would have known that. Yeah, looking back, you would think I did. If my wife would have been there, she would have said, have a bit of sense. Do you understand what I mean? I'm being honest. But it would block intimacy with God. And I want to say this. Leonard Ravenhill. Any of you old people remember Leonard Ravenhill or heard of Leonard Ravenhill? He said this. The man or woman who is intimate with God will never be intimidated by men. Not powerful. The man or woman who is intimate with God will never be intimidated by men. And I want to tell you something. Like Ezra, with the gracious hand of God upon him, as you go through the book of James, and I didn't poach any of your subjects, Paul, there's gold in there for mining. There's instructions for you. But if you need to confess, if there's something in your life you need to confess, find someone that you can trust. Here's what the Bible says about unconfessed sin. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you, and I stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgive me. All my guilt is gone. Therefore, let all the godly pray to you, while there is still time, that they may not drown in the floodwaters of judgment. That is Psalm 32. I encourage you, friends, Don't leave this building this morning or this afternoon still carrying your sin with you. Embrace what God has for you. Amen.